This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons in mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories, which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com. And by the Radio Cab Foundation, presenting its second annual benefit golf tournament, Saturday, July 8th, 9:30 a.m. at Heron Lakes Golf Course. Proceeds go to assist hospitalized children and disadvantaged families in the metro area. Registration and prize information at radiocabcares.org. Coming up next, Democracy Now!
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Fear and guilt are the two strongest weapons to take away your power and your spirit. And I think this is why it's so important for me to do this, because I come from that place and because I have come a long way of physical abuse, mental abuse, and spiritual abuse, which is the worst kind.
Actor Salma Hayek is one of many voices increasingly speaking out against violence against women. Eve Ensler, author of The Vagina Monologues and the engine behind the global anti-violence movement against women, joins us in our Firehouse studio.
Until the violence stops, New York City is an outgrowth of the movement V-Day, which is a global movement to end violence against women and girls throughout the world. It's reached 88 countries in 8 years, and this festival is an attempt to escalate the movement to the next level, to create a festival, an arts festival, that can be replicated in cities and states and villages around the world.
Ensler and law professor and prisoner rights advocate Kimberly Crenshaw join us for the hour on Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. military is being accused of committing a new massacre of Iraqi civilians. On Tuesday, witnesses, family members, and a Sunni parliamentarian said U.S. troops killed a group of civilians near the town of Bakuba. An Iraqi human rights worker said two of the dead were young boys aged 10 and 12. In a statement, the U.S. military claimed it killed 15 terrorists and had captured their weapons. But an Iraqi police officer told the Washington Post no weapons were found at the scene of the attack. In other Iraq news, the U.S. military has ordered an inquiry into why two soldiers were left on their own before they were later kidnapped and slain. The soldiers, Private Christian Menchaca and Private Thomas Tucker, were found with visible signs of torture. The military is already coming under criticism from one of the soldiers' relatives. On Tuesday, Ken McKenzie, the uncle of Private Menchaca, told NBC's Today Show the U.S. military had been too slow to react to the kidnappings. McKenzie said, quote, "Because the U.S. government did not have a plan in place, my nephew has paid for it with his life." And finally, in Iraq, one of Saddam Hussein's top defense lawyers has been killed. Khamis al-Obaidi is the third member of Saddam Hussein's defense team to be slain since his war crimes trial began in October. In the Gaza Strip, another Israeli airstrike has claimed the lives of Palestinian children. The dead were identified as 5-year-old Mohammed Jamal Roka, his sister Nadia, and 16-year-old Bilal Al-Hassa. This is Jamal Abu Abdallah, who witnessed the attack.
Children playing in the streets, and we have missiles falling on them, and in front of the house. What does this mean? 5 years old, the boy. I was sitting at home and the child is playing in front of me. I could see him from the balcony. He was playing with his cousins. His uncle is injured. His cousins are injured. And there are small children playing. God help us.
14 people, including 7 children, were wounded in Tuesday's attack. 3 of the children were listed in grave condition. Israel says it was targeting 2 militants with the Palestinian group, the Al-Aqsa Brigades. Following the attacks, the group called for a renewal of attacks inside Israel. Israeli airstrikes on Gaza have now killed up to 22 civilians in the past month. Meanwhile, the Israeli network Channel 2 is reporting new developments that bolster accusations the Israeli military was responsible for the recent Gaza beach bombing that killed 8 people. Sources inside the Israeli hospital that treated some of the victims said they removed shrapnel used in Israeli shells and not by Palestinian militants. The claims back the analysis of a Human Rights Watch military expert who investigated the scene of the bombing. The Israeli army maintains the blast was likely caused by bombs planted by Palestinian militants. North Korea is calling for direct talks with the U.S. over its reported plan to test fire a long-range missile. The U.S. has insisted it'll negotiate only through six-nation talks. U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Alexander Vershbo spoke in Seoul on Tuesday.
To develop a delivery system for a nuclear weapon only creates a more serious situation, and that's why we urge North Korea not to test and to come back to the six-party talks.
U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Alexander Vershbo. A controversial new book is claiming the U.S. bombing of the Kabul offices of the Arabic television network Al Jazeera was deliberate. In the 1% Doctrine, investigative journalist Ron Susskind writes, quote, on November 13th, a hectic day when Kabul fell to the Northern Alliance and there were celebrations in the streets of the city, a U.S. missile obliterated Al Jazeera's office. Inside the CIA and White House, there was satisfaction that a message had been sent to Al Jazeera, unquote. In an interview with CNN, Susskind said government sources had told him there was great anger within the Bush administration over Al Jazeera's coverage of the invasion of Afghanistan. He added, quote, I'll tell you emphatically, it was a deliberate act by the U.S. Susskind's disclosure is the latest development to bolster speculation the U.S. has deliberately targeted Al Jazeera. On April 8, 2003, just weeks into the invasion of Iraq, the U.S. bombed Al Jazeera's Baghdad bureau, killing correspondent Tariq Ayyub. Last November, the Daily Mirror of London reported President Bush told British Prime Minister Tony Blair of his desire to bomb Al Jazeera's headquarters in Qatar. The Mirror cited a secret memo leaked from the British government. According to the New York Times, Susskind's book appears to have been written with wide access to former CIA Director George Tenet and a host of other government officials. On the domestic front, Susskind's book also discloses that a major U.S. financial company provided the FBI and CIA information on the financial transactions and wire transfers of consumers worldwide. The company, First Data Corporation, is the parent firm of Western Union. First Data becomes the latest major U.S. corporation to be linked with U.S. government spying. Last month, USA Today revealed the National Security Agency has secretly collected the phone call records of millions of Americans with the help of AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South. In other domestic spy news, the Associated Press is reporting law enforcement agencies have employed private sector brokers to collect the personal telephone records of scores of Americans. Officials interviewed by the Associated Press said the brokers were employed because they could bypass civil liberties safeguards such as subpoenas and warrants. The brokers' methods included hacking into customers' online accounts and even impersonating them to get phone companies to reveal their private information. The government spent at least $30 million last year on the brokers' activities. Some agencies stopped using the brokers after coming under congressional scrutiny. A lawyer representing four data brokers defended his clients by comparing their work to the spying activities of the National Security Agency. The lawyer, James Bearden, said, quote, the government is doing exactly what these people are accused of doing. These are the people who are partners with law enforcement on a regular basis, he said. In North Dakota, a Catholic priest and two military veterans were arrested Tuesday for infiltrating a missile silo site. The men were able to break the locks on the site using sledgehammers and hammers. They painted the word disarm on a silo lid and poured some of their own blood. The men called themselves Weapon of Mass Destruction Here, Plowshares. In a statement posted their website, jonahhouse.org, the men said, quote, we have chosen to start the process of transformation and disarmament by hammering on and pouring our blood on components of the Minuteman II nuclear missile system. We believe that the concrete that goes into making missile silos would be better used for building homes. In New Orleans, the New York Times is reporting the city is experiencing what it calls a near epidemic of depression and post-traumatic stress disorders in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. According to local officials, the city's suicide rate has nearly tripled since the storm devastated New Orleans 10 months ago. The rise has been accompanied by a severe collapse in the local mental health system. State officials estimate New Orleans has now lost more than half its psychiatrists, social workers, psychologists, and other mental health professionals. On Capitol Hill, Republican House leaders have announced they will postpone final negotiations on immigration reform until after the summer. Instead, the Republicans plan to hold several public forums on immigration in cities around the country during the month of August. Analysts say the announcement likely means Congress will be unable to pass an immigration reform bill before November's midterm elections. In Washington, D.C., former Bush administration official David Safavian was found guilty Tuesday on four counts of making false statements and obstructing an investigation into the activities of convicted Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Safavian served as the Bush administration's chief procurement official. He'll be sentenced in October. In environmental news, a new report says 28 U.S. states have more than doubled their carbon dioxide emissions since 1960. According to the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, increased oil consumption accounted for 40% of the total increase. In pharmaceutical news, consumer advocate groups are reporting prices for the most widely used prescription drugs have seen dramatic increases this year. According to the American Association of Retired Persons, AARP, prices for brand name pharmaceuticals increased by just under 4%. Four times the inflation rate. It was the largest quarterly price hike on prescription drugs in 6 years. In media news, Dan Rather has left CBS after more than four decades. Rather stepped down as CBS news anchor last year following controversy over his now infamous report on President Bush's military record. Rather alleged President Bush had received preferential treatment while in the National Guard in the early 1970s. The report cited copies of memos that had been provided to the network by a confidential source that CBS later admitted it was unable to authenticate. On Tuesday, Rather said he was leaving CBS after they offered him a future with only an office but no assignments. Rather added, quote, "Too much is made of anchors and their personalities. The larger issues, the role of a free press and of honest, real news in a democracy, the role of technology in supporting a free press, the corporatization of news and its effects on news content all deserve more attention, more discussion, and more passionate debate," he said. And finally, President Bush is in Austria today for a summit with European leaders. The U.S.-EU talks are expected to focus on a host of issues, including Iran, trade, and immigration. European Commission President José Manuel Barroso said the EU would press demands for a U.S. to close the prison facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. In an interview with the International Herald Tribune, Barroso said the threat posed to civil liberties by the so-called war on terror means, quote, "We risk losing our souls." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.